This is Dave Bayless for Human Scale Business. I'm speaking with Patrick Pittman, the business coach. We're discussing earned website traffic as distinct from owned or bought traffic. What do you mean by the term earned website traffic, and how does earned traffic relate to referral, organic, and search traffic?
The earned traffic really means that another website links to yours, and people follow those links to your website. So you've earned it, because the other website owner decided to give or gift it to you with the link. Now that's, you know, another way of coming at what is also talked about as referral traffic and organic search traffic. So I guess I see earned as being inclusive of those two other terms and be more descriptive of what it is that's going on.
Elaborate a little bit about how that's like or incorporates the element of organic search traffic. How does organic search traffic relate to this notion of gifting a link to your site?
We talk about organic traffic as if it's this entity that is something that we're pushing and prodding and tugging along and counting on. But organic traffic is, at its base, a link on the search results page of a website that's much, much more popular than your own. In today's world, that's defined by Google. The organic traffic is ultimately a link that Google has decided to place somewhere on a visible enough part of their website to send meaningful visitors to your site. And I think you have to look at it as a gift in that sense. You can do things to try and earn it, at the same time recognizing that Google continues to refine and reorganize even what that search results page one looks like and what goes above and below the things that have been historically considered organic search results.
I've heard it said that search engine optimization, or SEO, is dead. What does that mean?
If you were to describe SEO as dead, I think it's trying to express the fact that there used to be a bit of a recipe. If you're baking, for example, and there's a little bit of chemistry involved and whether the bread rises and yeast does the right things at the right time and the bread comes out and it's brown and golden and crunchy on the outside, and there's an expectation that you can follow this recipe and you're going to get a known result. And to the extent that that was possible, that was SEO. Today, there is such a multiplicity of factors going on, and the complexity of the artificial learning of what search engines are interpreting is extraordinary, to the point that that recipe has become kind of a blurry memory. What replaces it is something that looks a lot more, well, like I would call PR, publicity, public relations, you know, media outreach, spreading the word, all of the things that try to communicate something newsworthy and memorable or remarkable is sort of how SEO has evolved to be something that's still as important as any of the other market activities you're doing.
So maybe you can elaborate upon that. In a previous episode, we discussed the importance of publishing story about one's product and brand in a variety of multimedia format using a unique voice. What's the connection between that publishing process and the notion of earned website traffic?
We are, I think, all storytellers today, and in the long history of marketing, that's probably always been true. But only some people had the publishing platform around which we were competing to try and get a few inches of attention. To the extent that we can publish ourselves today, we can take the initiative and see it through, and those who are the best at it will earn website traffic that is coming from other people's sites linking to what's newsworthy and remarkable, of which, you know, organic search results is just one such link. So in some ways, we have a capacity that is important in publishing and telling those stories. At the same time, we can acknowledge that there are still a lot bigger and more significant publishers out there than our own website. In my experience, we may publish our story, but if we can get someone else much, much more influential to see that and take it as the seed of what they tell as a story, then we have the chance to get links from their version of the story back to our version or our homepage. And that in itself feeds back in as a positive factor in other sources of earned traffic, like what Google determines as worthy of a link on the first page of its results. So there's a bit of a positive feedback loop there.
In addition to the basics of creating stories that incorporate multimedia, what kind of things should one be thinking about in order to maximize the chances of creating a story that's worth sharing?
Any kind of story that's newsworthy is going to have some element of remarkableness to it. And there's an entertainment aspect, there's an enlightened sort of perspective you take away from it, something shocking. These are all classic understandings of what's newsworthy. But there's also being able to think about and anticipate what is the question that someone might be asking or searching for when you are creating and publishing that page that presumably is going to have the answer. It's like obvious when I say it like that, but there's so often a publishing effort that doesn't really begin with, well, what questions would this be answering? It's more like, here's a story I want to tell, which can make sense if you're the one telling the story, but you're really almost answering questions if you're expecting to get visitors from search engines. So what is the question that you're answering, and how can your page be as definitive about the answer as possible so that the person who searches doesn't have to hit the back button, go back to Google, and find four or five other pages that are filling in the answers that you left out or doing a better job of answering than yours page did.
Can you give me an example of what constitutes a remarkable story in this context?
I can give you an example of something that I think happens all the time in e-commerce businesses who are trying to sell products. You know, what I'm working on now is in a home furnishings business, we have a new line that is in the color of navy blue. And so, you know, what are we going to do with that? An email or a blog post announcing the new color option is perhaps the most simple and not so newsworthy way. We might be able to say, here's our new page we're going to publish and tell that story, but who else is going to find that newsworthy and worth linking to? Very, very few. And if we were to come at it instead as creating what might be a story that is maybe a few steps removed from the fact that we now have a color selection that includes navy blue, but instead we present an article about the sort of secret history of navy blue as a color of last 1,000 years. Or we try and find some historical angle where we explain why the Versailles Palace forbid the color navy until 1963. I'm kind of more curious about why that would be. Or we could present an illustrated infographic that shows the history of navy. You may not know anything about this, but it veers from purple to most navy uniforms are actually black to prevent the fading of the color, and so forth and so on. That may not motivate someone to buy the navy rug, but it can be a way of, in a sense, serving up on a nice platter a newsworthy story to much bigger publishers than our website, who would then thank us by linking back to our site and convey some of the authority that their site has to us via that link. And that may give us more authority around the subject of Navy and so forth and so on. So it's in many ways a lot of inputs contributing to the general overall effort to earn traffic. And that can be a few steps removed from, hey, now you can buy this rug in navy blue.
That makes sense. So once you've published such a story that has elements of remarkability to it, something that's hook-worthy, how should one go about finding and pitching it in order to cultivate effective referral links from authoritative sources?
Well, the pitching of these kinds of stories is absolutely as important as the effort and creativity gone into publishing. There are tools even like BuzzStream that can give you a clue as to how that might be done. But I'd like to maybe take an example. Go search for some variation of the phrase that navy blue is the new black. If your results are anything like mine, you're going to find a story published by the Guardian newspaper. There's going to be a columnist there who has you know, very opinionated and fashion-minded things to say about the color navy. I'm going to interpret this. This is my interpretation of what I think it may have gone on here. At some point about two-thirds of the way down, there's a link to an e-commerce retailer that sells a great deal of navy products, even though the article was published originally, as we record this, about 3 years ago. When I follow that e-commerce site link and go to the page, I'm seeing a navy blue fashion item on the merchandising of that e-commerce retailer's homepage. If you go through the story, I think it represents an example where the owner of that e-commerce site, or the people in charge of telling their stories, served up a story idea on a platter to that columnist at The Guardian in a way that The Guardian columnist probably doesn't ever acknowledge. It's more like that e-commerce site owner becomes a source towards the bottom of the story, and a link comes through. One of the technical sort of SEO details of this is that you have the domain name of theguardian.com with a high authority ranking. It's quantitatively a 95 right now on a scale of 100, compared to the e-commerce site, which is still significant, it's a pretty serious business, but much lower at domain authority of 69. So the e-commerce retailer has a real positive inflow of authority. Whether anyone necessarily clicks through a lot of those links or not, they're still much more authoritative and more likely for any of their stories that they publish on their own website to be discovered and earn traffic in that way. So that's a particular example that I'm inferring some things from, and if it's not exactly true that way, it could be.
So what are some of the warning signs that you're probably not doing enough to cultivate earned traffic?
If your website traffic is really more than 3/4 earned, then I think you want to beware of what can be a roller coaster ride, and just to recognize that you're riding and you're not driving. Beyond that, I think if your efforts towards the traffic that you buy as compared to the traffic that you earn are really inconclusive, in other words, you're not sure and can't really explain what's working in the traffic you buy efforts, then you're vulnerable to relying largely on traffic that you earn. And I think that can be out of balance in times that then when the roller coaster dips and you lose earned traffic, there's not a fallback method to supplement or to stop gap. I think the last warning sign is really that you're guessing about the reasons for why you have earned traffic so far. And guessing leaves a lot of assumptions about the durability of that earned traffic, when it can be fragile in ways that can be really alarming and dangerous to an e-commerce retailer. So I think you want to accept the gift of earned traffic, but really seek to understand the giver and what are the contributing factors to how you can sustain that kind of earned traffic.
If I'm hearing you correctly, one of the indications of a healthy cultivation of earned traffic might be a good balance between earned traffic and other sorts of website traffic, including but not limited to bot traffic. Are there any other signs that should give you comfort that you're doing a pretty good job with generating this kind of website traffic?
Well, a healthy ratio is absolutely important to affirm what you just said. And I think if you're successful at telling your stories, it's safe to assume the great majority of your traffic could be earned traffic. So it's worth really understanding and knowing why things are working. One of the ways I think you can continue to ensure that you're earning traffic is to really refine the process around which you are pitching your stories to those with a bigger platform. You can publish your story, but when you start to incorporate the idea of pitching it to others, it's, for one, not only going to yield links back in ways that wouldn't happen unless you made the effort to pitch, but I think it also really strengthens your creative process for how you conceive of stories in the first place. And the expectation of soliciting others will naturally help you filter out stories that just aren't as compelling, or it'll help you to find the element of remarkableness to it. Whether in the end a bigger publisher scoops it off the platter you serve them, it'll undoubtedly become a more interesting and useful story to the owned traffic that represents the people already on your list, and they'll be happy and better customers for it.